Ask the Podcast Coach for January 17th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it's Saturday morning on a lovely winter day here, broadcasting from Cleveland, Ohio, and Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, where you get your podcasting questions answered, well, kind of live. You can call in 347-850-8007. And joining me, as always, is the fabulous Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how's it going?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. And a lovely Saturday morning here in Bellevue, Nebraska. We are expecting 50 degrees today, which for January 17th.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You'll take that. Absolutely.
I'll take it any day of the week.
Yeah. I'm already officially done with winter. I'm like, okay, I had to, because I've been doing the nice husband thing where you scrape off your wife's car and your car in the morning. And, that's getting old.
Oh, yeah. It does. But global warming is here to stay. Officially, the National Weather Service said it's still the hottest. 2014 was the hottest year on record, even though it was only warmer by 0.07 degrees than last year. It's still the hottest one on record. So global warming here to stay. Keep the frost off your windows.
Yeah, I see in the chat room. And again, you can join us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. That Daniel's saying, hey, I was just listening to last week's show, which just went out this morning, and I just have, I'll condense the story. 120-pound German Shepherd, diarrhea. That's all I have to say. Pretty much, that's why the show didn't go out this week. That was my Thursday evening. It's like, okay. And mainly because, the other thing is, my stepson is going to be marching in some sort of Disney parade. This week down in Florida, which meant all the stuff that he used to do, like feed the dog and other things like that, were put on the back burner. So usually
sometimes life just gets in the way of podcasting. You know, it just is what it is. And you kind of muscle through it and get it done. And most people are very forgiving about it. You just keep pressing forward. What happens to a lot of podcasters is they get one day behind and then two and three, and then they start feeling bad. Mm-hmm. And then then they're like, oh, I'm afraid. And then they get 4 weeks behind, and you know, they don't want to, they're a little embarrassed to come back to their audience after 3 or 4 weeks. And you just want to, say, you know what, at any point, just jump back in and get going. Right. That's nobody's going to, I think the one Ryan K. Parker that's said, it. No one's going to punch you in the face.
I need to get that sound bite so I can have it at the ready. Speaking of sound bites, we have this one, which lets you know that you have no lines right now. Open phone lines, dial in 347-850-8007. That's 347-850-8007. And boy, you know, I've always heard Todd Cochran of Geek News Central and the New Media Show and Blueberry and all those kind of things. Explain how, you know, it was always such the, a storm of controversy that the podcast awards were. And, if you haven't read, the podcast awards nominations open up Monday. And, I announced that on a Facebook page and it blew up, which was interesting because most of the post was not about, well, it was kind of about the podcast awards, but somebody said that, you know, I think the way that, because we didn't really change anything. We thought about it, and in the end, it's not my call by any means. First of all, let me say that. It's not my call. I have nothing to do with the decision. And Rick decided to keep it pretty much exactly as it is. And so part of your score is based on your website. And there was somebody in a Facebook group that was like, yeah, putting your RSS feed on your webpage. Now, there are, first things first, why should you do that? Number one, there's this other thing called not iTunes, you know, insert whatever it is. It's, you know, there's like, we talked a couple weeks ago where Microsoft now looks, that's how you get listed in wherever, whatever kind of directory they have. You have to have an RSS feed on your website. And,
but Dave, let me get some clarification on that. Cause like theaverageguy.tv, I don't have my RSS feed directly on the front page of my website because I'm a network, right? And this was one of the arguments there. I'm a network. And so each network has its own feed that's, you know, a little buried. It's buried one level down. at that point. And so I don't want to put a master RSS feed. I have a subscribe page, thanks to Daniel. I have a very good-looking subscribe page at theaverageguy.tv/subscribe. If you want to see Daniel's social follow and subscribe plugin, it's kind of featured there on my subscribe page. But so you have to go. You have to go a level deep. So does that? If you have to go a level deep, does that count? Is Microsoft crawling beyond the level of the front page to pick up my stuff? I mean, I submitted my stuff to the Zune Marketplace back in the day when it was that a long time ago. So it's still there. But
I guess we'll ask we'll ask our Microsoft representative. Oh, that's right. We don't have one anymore.
Oh, he moved. Yeah.
So yeah, it's the whole Microsoft. They're really pointing. They're I mean, I'm happy that I guess on a Windows phone, there's, you know, I think it's the Libsyn directory that feeds the Windows phone, if I remember right. I know Libsyn has their own directory, and it does feed a couple different things. But,
you know, I think it's a great debate, right? I mean, it got a little brutal of a debate on the page. But I think it is a great debate when we talk about this, because I do think with the advent of a lot of our now services, when we think of a SoundCloud and when we think of a Mixcloud and when we think of, you know, some of these newer ones that are coming out, of course, Stitcher and some of those things, can a podcaster really have a podcast and not necessarily have the traditional website to do that? That was kind of the crux of that argument for a while. I mean, besides the RSS feed, I think that's a technical issue, right? On that,
right.
Most people have their RSS feeds all over the place. But I think that the real crux of the issue was, can you have a presence and not necessarily have a traditional website? And I think you can. I think that was to his point. It's like, I can be a successful podcaster and not have to own a domain or have a web page for them to come back to. Now, to Daniel's point, you're missing out on an enormous amount of SEO, right? There's, when you have your own page, Google crawls that. If you don't want to do that, fine. If you're successful with it, fine. I don't think it's a right or wrong, and we were trying to make it right or wrong. Like, if you're successful that way, do it, right? Be successful. The irony in that is, so I was following the argument, and the guy, and I guess let's choose not to use names at this point, but who was making the argument for not having a website, I was like trying to find him so I could listen to – I wanted to listen to his podcast, and I had trouble finding his podcast because he doesn't have a website, right?
Yeah.
So it was a little ironic. Now, I eventually tracked it down. There was a website there, and I listened to his podcast. And it's a good podcast. He's got a good thing going on over there. So – but – I felt like we got in this moral argument that didn't really need to happen. It was like, you can do it without one. You can do it. To his point, it was like, why am I being punished in these awards for not having a website because it's 15%? And he's got a valid point at that point. Now, whether you guys choose to change it or not, that's up to you guys.
Yeah, we'll have to. Well, the other thing I want to point out, I'll put a link in the show in the show notes, but also in the chat room. If you're thinking of going to New Media Expo and you're like, I just don't have the money for the ticket, I could probably get the plane ticket, but I can't afford. Well, number one, I think there's a where you can just see the vendors only. I think there's that ticket, which is free. But if you want to, speaking of the podcast awards, if you would like to be one of the people that helps do the voting, you can actually do that. And I put a link. I should have made a pretty link for this, but anyway, it's in the chat room. If you go out to askthepodcastcoach.com/61, I'll put a link to it there. But what Rick from New Media Expo is doing is, if you review four categories, and in reality, that's about 16 hours worth of work, you can then earn a ticket to the New Media Expo, because it's a lot of work. The podcast awards are not, it's not something, and then you get this whole sheet thing, and we're going to have a webinar once we get the number of people we need to do the reviews. We're going to do a webinar, and we're going to basically explain, like, okay, is it a knockoff if you get the RSS on the front page or not, and try to
get – Dave,
it
even
is.
That's not going to fix it for people.
No,
people are going to nitpick at every little.
Oh.
There's no rewards. What do they say? No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
At this point, so you're going to get. I mean,
yes,
I applaud you. Keep going forward.
Yes, thank you.
You know what you're in for. Right?
Chat rooms are awesome. They're going to help us in the review process, not help with the voting. Yes, thank you very much. So
there we go.
So what it is people nominate you. And that's, I mean, the whole scale thing, there's how many times you get nominated. And then, I mean, I don't want to go through the whole process, but you could basically go through that. And then there is a time where we have to go through and tally up all the votes. And yeah, so that's what that is for. So, but yeah, it was interesting because the one guy said in the Facebook group that he finds podcasts by searching iTunes. And that's fine.
That's one way. That's one way to do it. Yeah. Mike Howard doesn't have iTunes. He doesn't search it. He's the kind of guy that doesn't do that. Yeah. And so he's not going to find it that way. Yeah. By the way, if I search Jim Collison and podcasts, the podcasts on my other sites that I use Mixcloud and some Shout Engine and audio. Just because I do it because now that I'm on your show, I want to be able to talk about these. So I put those. Mm-hmm. By the way, they show up. So if I now my website shows up as the number one, right? So the averageguy.tv shows up number one on a Google search under Jim Collison podcast. But those other things show up as well. So not having a website does not necessarily knock you out of people searching for you on Google and finding you. If you're on SoundCloud, that gets indexed by Google. If you're on Mixcloud, that gets indexed by Google. Those sites are being indexed by Google. So if you have the tag set right in those services that you're using, they're going to show up. So I don't want us to think that just if you don't have a website, you're dead to the world. You'll get found, right? Or if your Twitter is set up right, someone's searching for you and you can have a link to what you're doing from there. So I'm a little hesitant on the argument of saying, again, you have to have it. Again, I think it's great and it's a best practice, right? I think right. You don't want to miss on that at all. But do you have to? It's not right or wrong. It's are you choosing to miss? You might be missing some audience.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't have a website.
I know Paul Culligan now moved the podcast report to Tumblr. He's just using a Tumblr page.
Yeah.
And it works, you know. So.
Well, it's a page. It's a presence, you know, unless you're going with a service that blocks the Google robot, or if you're, you know, you've purposely blocked the Google robot, which you can do on WordPress, it's going to find you. I mean, so the question is what's best practice. And I think this is what we're arguing about is in some ways, what are best practices?
Yeah. Here's an I just did your test. I typed David Jackson podcast.
Yeah.
I got to start using Google Plus more. Because shocking that Google would put the post that I did in Google Plus, you know, in the top, and it has my little Google icon, you know, little me with the headphones on. I'm like, I got to start posting. Hey, my new show is out on Google Plus. Because shocking that Google would give itself a higher ranking, but apparently it does. I was like, wow. That's,
might be better than anything you do on your own website, right? Using Google properties. You know, when I did that search on me, guess what number two is? My YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know? So interesting. You know, and then, so for me, it goes my website, YouTube, and I know this is arbitrary. This isn't a scientific search, right? But YouTube, Mixcloud, then iTunes, and then Shout Engine. Then it starts finding posts on Google Plus. So that's the first page for me. Kind of, again, unscientific. I am searching for it. There's lots of things that go into the search algorithm. So this your mileage may vary, but kind of interesting. Like if someone just knew me and they were looking for my podcast, and so they put Jim Collison podcast. That's kind of what they find. So
interesting. Well, I should remind everybody that there's no line. Open phone lines, 347-850-8007. It's 347-850-8007. And if you just joined us, we're at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And let's go to, let's talk about Stitcher. You had a thing you said you wanted to talk. You had an experience. Yeah. With Stitcher.
Yeah, an experience with Stitcher support this week. You know, a lot of questions around Stitcher and what's going on with Deezer and all that stuff. And so I've got five podcasts up on Stitcher. Two we've podfaded. The other three, their RSS feeds were pulled long ago. And one of them in particular, my Home Gadget Geeks podcast, used to be called Home Tech. And I cannot get Stitcher. I've gone into the settings and tried to update or get them to refresh the feed so it'll pull the new feed in. And the second one, it pulled the feed when I first created it, but I've since changed not the title, but the way I do the title in my RSS feed. I wanted them to all be consistent. when they were showing up and the way all three shows across the network and the way they look so that they're all grouped together, they look right, right? So I changed the titles in the RSS feed. Well, Stitcher pulled it one time and they're kind of one and done, I think. I'm guessing. They pull it one time and then they never really refresh the title description, those kinds of things on your Stitcher feed, which makes it look kind of wonky. So I sent them an email that is, I think it's content@stitcher.com. That gets there. Just go to their support page. Their email is out there. I thought, I wonder if anybody's listening. So I sent them an email. Would you refresh these three feeds? Well, they refreshed the one feed that was actually fine. And then that's all they did. And I was like, I listed. So I sent an email back. Hey, I listed three feeds. Can you update them all? And I got nothing. So
wow.
I'm not sure if I need to like send each. So this morning, right before the show, I sent an individual email for the next show to just say, hey, would you just refresh this one. I'm going to see if I can maybe get the Stitcher support robot to, you know, to pick me up and refresh that feed. So yes, somebody, the lights are on at Stitcher. So people are still there. They're still responding. I'm still getting, you know, that email still works for Stitcher. No, it's more of a robot answer than, or someone who is maybe cranking through 10,000 emails in a day, who has low engagement in their job and doesn't necessarily care about what the content of the actual email said. So that was a little disappointing. I'm going to still continue to work to get those feeds updated. And then, you know, I've mentioned I've been having some problems since they upgraded Beyond Pod on Android. You know, we really need – one of the things this post that we just talked about brought up is we really need a solid solution for Android, right? There is no – Android is just a mess when it comes to podcasts, right?
Yeah.
You got a couple different players and Dogcatcher and Beyond Pod and a bunch of other ones that people will go to – will fall on swords for. I've kind of wanted to say just – It's the podcast app in iTunes and it's Stitcher for Android. That's what I really want to say. So This week I thought, all right, I'm going to do it again. I did this months ago. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to Stitcher full time, right? For my own listening. Oh, I got through about 10 minutes of listening and their compression still, I mean, I just wish they wouldn't compress their feed because right. I sent them a good sounding, and it does. It comes out with this little tinny, whiny, like when even in the car when you're listening to it, it hurt my ears after 5 or 10 minutes of listening to it. And I thought, so I'm going to go switch back. So I switched back to it on, and this was, I was listening to one of Laporte's podcasts, not even my own. This is a pretty well produced, good sounding podcast with Leo Laporte, whether you agree with his content or not. And it was just messy. For me, anyways, I can't say Stitcher's that Android option that people are going to have a great experience on because I'm the average podcast listener. I tolerate a lot when it comes to bad sound. I tolerate a ton. I'm not
right.
Like, you know, there are some out there, Ray Ortega, who are very particular. Right? Ray's a good guy, Ray. Yeah, I'm not thinking. But Cliff he's Raven's particular correct. About his audio. Yeah, he's particular about his audio. And he said that. He's public. I couldn't listen to it on Stitcher. So I still don't think we've got a great option there with Stitcher.
What bugged me about, cause I used to do the thing I loved about Stitcher is I could listen on my app. I could go on my PC, log into Stitcher and pick up right where I left off and then pick up my iPad and pick up right where I left off. So they had the syncing thing. But when they really started playing an ad almost after every, not after every episode, but every time I stopped and hit start, I think it was almost getting that bad. I'd have to go back and revisit that to get it more accurate. But it just seemed like every time I turned around and it was for the same advertiser, which is hilarious because I can't remember who it was. It was somebody you submitted. If you're trying to get, you know, to hire somebody, use blah, blah, blah. And it was like, I was like, do you only have one sponsor? Is that the only one? So yeah, that was driving me crazy.
Joshua Rivers in the chat says that he says I listen almost exclusively to Stitcher, and that's great. Again, your mileage might vary. If it's working for you, great.
Yeah.
My experience was I had a hard time in my car listening to it. It sounded washy and tinny, and again, not that mattered, but it actually I found myself getting frustrated with it. You know, it's like I can't. Like, especially knowing what I was getting when I was listening to it in full fidelity. You know. So it's, yeah. And again, I'm not picky, but it was just, it made me sad a little bit. I was just like, mm. Yeah. So what do I do? Do I go with a Spreaker app now? Or do I, you know, it's, yeah. How do you, on Android, it's a mess. How do you recommend it?
And it's such,
how do you get the average guy listening? Right.
Yeah. And it's such a huge potential. There's so many, it's like huge. Yeah.
It's gigantic. Google. It's gigantic. It dwarfs the iPhone.
Yeah.
When we talk about total sales.
Yeah.
And yet we always focus on iTunes.
Hey, if you have any firsthand experience with Squarespace, we're going to talk a little Squarespace here. If you could call in 347-850-8007. We got a question from our buddy Michael Ray, who's been sending in questions on a regular basis. We appreciate that. He says, I think you talked about this a couple weeks ago. Would I or someone else be better off with Squarespace over WordPress? And you know, I think I'm going to go and like get a Squarespace site for like a month and a half and kick the tires on it. The last time I got firsthand knowledge was through Max Flight. And at the time, it was kind of like you could podcast with it. You just had hurdles. You know, it wasn't hard. It wasn't as easy as WordPress. And that's where WordPress was something like the Blueberry PowerPress. And speaking of that, I do have an answer to the IPC thing. I forgot to put that in our notes. When you have like Blueberry PowerPress, or I keep hearing people talk about Podlove. I need to check into that, but I'm a big PowerPress fan. It's easy. The only downside of WordPress is you have complete control. And they're always adding features to it. That's like a bad thing. They're always adding features to it, so you have to update it a lot, but that's even easier. And maybe we have some help here. We have a caller, and if you're not calling about Squarespace, that's fine too. Ending in 9533. You're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is Josh Rivers.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, man.
Yeah, so I just called in to say Bubba Louie.
Ah, thank you very much. While we're at it, let's throw in a Dick. What's the guy's name? Dick Poop? That's really Dick Pope, the Oscar guy. Have you guys heard about that? This poor guy gets, you know, his dream comes true, right? He's being nominated for an Oscar, and the guy's name is Dick Pope, and they go for best supporting actor, whatever, and the lady said Dick Poop, and everybody, the whole, you know. Every Jimmy Fallon, you know, all the network guys made poop jokes for a half hour on their show. It was like, really? Is that where we're going to go? Okay. So,
Joshua, welcome. What's your question?
I just want to continue on that Stitcher thing there. So I made that comment about that I listen exclusively on Stitcher. And then you asked me about being okay with the sound. For me, most of the time that I'm listening, I'm actually at my job, and it's a factory. So there's a lot of background noise while I'm working anyway. But for me, I'm not much of a sound snob, so the audio compression doesn't bother me. In fact, the compression actually helps me because on the flip side, I also look at my data plan. And so when I listen to probably 40 different podcasts a week, and so as far as that is concerned, listening on Stitcher helps me a lot more than listening via the podcast app.
There we go.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, you know, this is the thing. There's no right or wrong on it. Your mileage might vary based on your conditions. It sounds like for you, you know, out in a factory, again, you're just trying to get to hear the sound. For me, in the car, it was just one of those situations where I just couldn't, man, I couldn't take it after about 10 minutes. It was like, oh, I know it could be a little bit better. Now, I might be tainted, right? It might be okay for the average user in their vehicle. So, you know, maybe Stitcher is it, but it was one of those situations like, man, I wish this was just a smidgen of a bit better experience in the car. And folks could use it. So, well, I appreciate the feedback on that. That's good to know. And, you know, it'd be interesting to, I guess one would want to look at his stats and say, how are people consuming it? And if you're getting a large Spreaker listening base, then maybe it's not a big issue, right? And you can kind of push Spreaker, push Stitcher the way it needs to be done. So, anyways, do you have your own podcast?
I have a couple, actually. I have one that's kind of in limbo, but we're doing some things more off podcast. But we bring podcasts every once in a while to kind of promote it. That's the 24podcast.com. But my main two podcasts are the Success Road Podcast, which is at successroad.com. And then my other one is Creative Studio Academy.
Awesome.
Very cool. Any other thoughts, questions?
I'm putting off.
No, that's all I wanted to chime in on there for now. So,
well, thank you much, Josh.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Have a great afternoon.
Definitely. You too.
And Josh, he makes a really good point, Dave, about where you listen. So let's see, who was it? John asked me in the chat room. No, it wasn't John. Let's see.
It was Stargate Pioneer. That.
Stargate Pioneer asked me in the chat room, you know, do you listen to podcasts while you work out? And I can't listen to talking while I'm running. It just doesn't, it makes me angry. I don't know why. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It's distracting, whatever. I go full music. So for me, I can't. So a lot of people listen to podcasts while they work out, and that's great, but I can't.
Yeah. To me, if I want to get up and go, you know, I'm throwing on some Disturbed and some Iron Maiden and old Judas Priest. And Van Halen.
Yeah, Van Halen, little AC/DC.
I could do a marathon listening to Van Halen 1. I would just put Atomic Punk on a loop and let it keep going. Yeah. So, Mike Dell in the chat room says Squarespace has substandard feeds and no way to fix problems. Well, that's helpful.
I don't know. Okay, not that. You know, Mike might be a little biased. All right. So I'm just saying.
Nah.
So Mike Weger, and again, I there are some things I agree with that. So Mike Weger, who's an Omaha podcaster who I've gotten to know, he started on Squarespace and actually developed a pretty good platform and got a few viewers and their audio feed, they've gotten better on the audio side. What they're not really good at is and I can't speak to the value of their RSS feed. In other words, including all the tags. I never really thought of that until I heard someone mention, I think when we were talking about cloud, about SoundCloud, and I think it was Todd who mentioned that they have a substandard feed, right? They don't include all the things that need to be in there to make that feed valid. So you can do it on Squarespace, but it's audio only. If you want to go video and create a video feed, there is no way in the system to do that. You're going to hand roll your own RSS feed to make that work. And not like PowerPress, right? PowerPress, bam, pop in there, create a category or do a channel, and you're in business. So Squarespace isn't – again, they weren't born out of the podcasting medium, right? They're thinking about website content and delivery and creation, not delivering podcasts. Again, is it the best thing to do? If it's working for you, then it's absolutely the best thing to do.
Right.
If you're just getting into it, I sent Michael that note back and said, I like WordPress for podcasting. There's a whole bunch of different ways you can do this, but man, WordPress and PowerPress for handling all your audio and video, boy, it's just made for that, right?
Yeah.
It's the right tool for the job. So you can go other places, but just one of those things. It's just using the right tool for the job.
Yeah, and he says his last question is, do I wear jeans to the podcaster meetup?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we're having a meetup here in Omaha Monday the 26th, I think that is.
Yeah.
And he actually sent me a link to a costume. Do you come in costumes or do we? And it was a leisure suit costume, which I thought was pretty funny. So you see, Michael has a good sense of humor.
Yeah, and I see Mike Dell says, no, there's no bias here. It's the fact I've heard this from SoundCloud too, that their feeds just don't have all the pieces parts.
Yeah. No, yeah. There could be some factual truth. You know, Mike Dell, I'm giving him a little bit of a hard time.
Yeah.
I want, let's be fair. We almost need to come from a disclosure standpoint. You know, every time like a Todd Cochran kicks in on Facebook and recommends something for Blueberry, you know, you kind of go, I get it, right? But he's biased. It's his stuff. You know, it's tough to give solid recommendations, right? On your own stuff, Dave. I mean, come on, let's just be honest with that. If you work for that company, if that's your product and people are asking for opinion, you're always going to favor in the side of your own stuff, right? I'm not saying that's bad, but you almost need a disclaimer. I work for Blueberry. Now, everybody knows in Todd's case he does, or in Rob's case, or in Mike's case, you know.
Kind of. And Mike does that on his show on podcasthelpdesk.com. But there's a great point here. I want to answer a question here. Stargate Pioneer says, so just how many full-time podcasters are there in their industry? A dozen? A couple of dozen? What's the commonalities between them? I know a couple commonality. Now, this is not between all of them, but I have noticed some things. Number one, a wife that makes a fair amount of cash. That's helpful. Number two, most of them are out of debt. They don't have a whole lot of debt. And number three, they don't make money from their podcast. They make money from, they use podcasts as a marketing arm that promotes other services and products and things like that. Now, there are the John Lee Dumases of the world that make a boatload of cash on sponsorship. But if you look at what John's really making money at, it's Podcaster's Paradise. It's, you know, his webinar, whatever, on fire. His
followers love him.
Yeah.
You know, so, I see this all the time in the Facebook groups. They love him. They love the content he provides. Yeah. You know, it's working.
I wrote an article in Podtertainment magazine about, I said, are you hitting from the same tees? Because if you listen to episode 200 of the Audacity to Podcast, where Daniel interviewed him, he hit a lot of these all in one place, which is great. But, you know, John was in Afghanistan, and there's not a lot of money to be spent in Afghanistan when you're busy, I don't know, fighting for your life. And so when he got back from Afghanistan, he had a nice chunk of change, which he had a nice chunk of change in the bank before he left. So when you're coming home and you got six figures in the bank already, you have a little bit longer runway than I do, that if I quit my job today, I'm not going to have, you know, months of income in there. So and then he paid for a mentor in Jamie Tardy. There's $3,000 out the window. And to John's credit, he's been very open about all this stuff. And but that's some of the ones I found. Most of them are out of debt. Most of them have a wife that makes cash. And then most of them are not making money from their podcast. They're doing it with services and things like that.
But now Laporte came out of the industry, right? I mean, Leo Laporte had been doing TV.
And that's another key point.
You know, he had had the backing of some of the rich guys from Seattle. And that whole departure from that, the whole you know, the whole tech TV debacle as it ended and stuff. You know, he took advantage of his situation. Certainly he could have just quit. That'd have been easy for him just to go, it's over. But, you know, and he knew a lot of those players in there, and Kevin Rose and John C. Dvorak and that group of Patrick Norton and that group. And so they, you know, so I think of Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, right? Right place, right time, and doing it for a long time. I mean, right. Dvorak did Cranky Geeks, which is no longer in existence. So that doesn't necessarily guarantee, you know, those things are going to stay around forever either. So, you know, I'm not trying to argue with you, Dave, on that one, but that's another situation right. Where he came out of the industry. I think you're going to see a lot of radio guys now coming out of the radio industry and changing their stuff into podcasts, and some of them will be successful.
Yeah. And a lot of, well, if you think about it, the, that's a key point. They have, you know, if we look at, the guy from Startup, Mr. Bloomberg, no, what's his name? Eric? No,
I don't know. I haven't listened to that one yet.
You haven't listened to Startup? Oh, Startup's cool.
I have not.
Especially,
I know.
Especially the first like six episodes. But he spun
off. Kind of an anti-establishment guy.
well, both he and Serial were spinoffs from, you know, This American right. Life.
Yep. And I love the NPR stuff.
Todd something something, who's making a boatload of cash on
Help Us Chat Room.
Yes. The guy from Twit that's now making like $17,000 a month on Podtertainment. It's Todd something, because I know I was trying to get him to speak at New Media, not Podtertainment. What's that thing called? The pay me money on a monthly thing.
Oh yeah.
I love live.
It's Alex. I know, it's like it just every memory just flushed.
Alex
out.
Bloomberg, and it's the Patreon.
Patreon.
Todd something from, and he used to work for Twit, and he spun off, did his own thing, and now he's making boatloads of cash on Podtertainment. Has everybody got their joyride email this week from all the podcasters. Have you heard about this? I'd have to search my email. Joyride is basically Pottertainment with a different, I keep saying Pottertainment. Can I please get that word out of my head? Patreon with a different word, but there's a thing in an email. It's like, if you don't make $1,000, blah, 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 there's some sort of guarantee. If you don't make X amount of money, we're going to pay you. And I'm like, oh, you know what?
Holy. That's going to work well.
Yeah. I was like, all right, got it.
Does that have a line? Does that have a line at Vegas I can bet against?
Let me see if I can find that in my email. But I've had a couple of people send it to me that, I've had a couple of people forward this to me. Wanted to pass this exclusive. It's exclusive. Along for you.
2 hours left.
Joyride is working with Google and Apple to make podcasts profitable. You will collect monthly reoccurring donations from your audience and reward those who support you, better known as Patreon. You'll also be able to increase monthly donations by engaging with your fans through the web and their mobile device, of course, on their website, not yours. Right. We expect you to receive at least $3 a month per listener. You are guaranteed to make $1,000 per month within the 90 days, or we'll pay you $1,000 instantly. To qualify for this program, you need to have 50,000 or more downloads per episode. Now, here's my question. If I'm already getting 50,000 downloads per episode, I don't need you. I can monetize my own stuff.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
We're still happy. Not enough downloads. We're still happy to help you launch your campaign. We're finalizing our 10 preferred partners early next week. I'm happy to get on a call or meet in person to go over the details. Please let me know as soon as possible. Jeff from getjoyride.com. And I believe the last time I clicked on that, they were down for service. I'm like, hey, there's a well-planned campaign. No, it's up. Yeah, getjoyride.com. But it looks just like Patreon. And the whole thing, you know, again, it's another fun-filled toy for, gosh, let's look at the front page. Mark Maron, Startup, Radiolab, Serial.
The top.
Tim Ferriss, The Nerdist. And I'm like, you know, okay, great, wonderful. You know, so.
Yeah. So Mike Dell says, who gets 50,000 downloads here? Not me. Not on mine. I don't see that coming. Well, you know, it's what the market will bear. And Mike Dell, it also says something about it's easy when you're famous to get, you know, to get going. Yeah, sort of, if you hustle it. I mean, I look at Chevy Chase, who at the height of his career did a talk show that was just a miserable failure.
I remember
right?
that.
Right? Yeah, it was terrible. And there's been a lot of people who've made the jump from whatever to TV or whatever to radio that aren't successful. Some of them will make the jump to podcasting, and they won't be successful either. It helps. Here's what helps, Dave. Hustle. That's what helps, right? Putting yourself in a position to be lucky. Right. Because practice improves your chance of luck. Right. Somebody said that. I remember hearing that somewhere, that hard work improves your chance of being lucky in that. Right. If you're putting the work in, if you're ready to go, if you're doing the stuff, it's there. So nothing replaces hustle. You want to be successful? John Lee Dumas is successful.
Oh, that's right. He is
dude.
The Energizer Bunny of.
Oh, my God. He worked his.
Yeah.
He worked his butt off to get this thing done. I mean, who's going to have the commitment to do 7 podcasts in one day? I would blow my mind.
That's it. My brain would be pudding.
Edit them? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man. You barely do one a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the Joyride site. Set goals, pledges, supporters seamlessly receive their rewards through the Joyride podcast player on their favorite player using a private supported feed. And then you connect with your supporters through a private community, of course, on their. See, somebody needs to take this idea and make it to where you can put it on your website. That would mm-hmm. be the cool thing. But I mean, there is PayPal. I'm surprised there isn't. Somebody hasn't come up with a plugin.
Like PayPal.
Yeah, that's true. You either love it or hate it.
People hate it. Yeah. People just really hate it. If Amazon could get in the game, this might be a place where. If Amazon would come up with a portal where you could do this, man, that might be game over.
I'm trying to find the Todd from, I typed in Todd at Patreon.
Why doesn't Amazon jump in this game? There must really, if Jeff Bezos isn't a believer, it's probably not true. But, you know, why isn't Amazon, they have the infrastructure, they got the back end, they have the S3 back end, they have the payment thing solved. They have the patent on the one-click purchase. They could create their own version of iTunes, sell these things, you know, sell subscriptions or whatever.
Yeah.
God, they could kill this thing. All right, I'm patenting that right now.
There you go. Well, we should mention, we haven't said this in a while, we do have open phone lines. It's 347-850-8007, 347-850-8007. And if you just joined us, we are at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And whoever Todd is from, I will say this, the search at Patreon, not really that helpful. If you don't know the guy, I know it's a tech show.
Is it Tom Merritt?
Tom Merritt. Thank you very much.
There you go. So that's from Daniel, but that's not me. That's from Daniel.
Todd. Daniel knows everything.
Tom Merritt. Yeah.
Speaking of Daniel, let me do that plug. I love my podcast reviews. There's nothing cooler than my podcast reviews.
Unless you don't get any. And then
that's the cool thing.
Monthly want email from Daniel that says you didn't get any.
No, because about the time, wow, I actually typed in Todd Merritt and still got nothing. Let's see if I type in Todd Mer. No. Okay. So
M-E-R. Yeah. M-E-R.
That's what I did. I typed in T-O-D-D M-E-R. And it's like
two R's, two T's.
All right. T-O-D-D M-E-R-R-I-T-T. Survey says under all, nothing found. All right. Let's see. But anyway.
Hey, try Daily Tech News Show.
Ah, there we go.
Try that one. Thanks, Rich.
But because to me, the day you do get that review is usually a day when you really need a review. And the fact that I would miss all these stuff, Tom, thank you very much, Daniel. It's Tom Merritt.
Was I saying Todd?
I was saying.
I thought I was saying Tom.
It's my.
Doesn't matter.
There we go. Guy's making $13,500 a month with 4,700 patrons. That's a whole lot of people.
Yeah. But he was born out of Laporte's network.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Right. I mean, he was doing before he did Twit wasn't going to get him where he was going. He jumped onto the Twit network. And then actually the split between him and Leo probably helped him more than it hurt him. Right. I mean, that he drug a whole bunch of faithful followers on over there and a little bit of a martyr from that standpoint. Like, oh, how dare you, Leo? You know, there were people who were like, kick that guy off. And then there were people like, that guy's the best ever. Right. And it created this little, you know, and so that too, I mean, that's a little bit of luck in marketing. You can't engineer that kind of marketing. You cannot engineer that kind of followership. That's something that's born out of just a bad situation. He took advantage of it, started a weekly tech show or a daily tech show and has had good success with it.
Here's an interesting question. I believe filled with sarcasm, from the Twit guy. Will I get rich quickest sending money to John Lee Dumas, Pat Flynn, or Cliff Ravenscraft? My answer is all three. Just give them all your money. I think of the number one, Pat doesn't charge you. He only makes money when you spend money on his affiliate stuff. He doesn't have, although he does, he just launched a podcast, him and Chris Ducker. Cliff has his podcasting A to Z, that's a good question. Which is more expensive, John Lee Dumas, Podcaster's Paradise, or Cliff's A to Z class? And if I had to pick one of those two, that's not mine, because of course I'm going to send you to the School of Podcasting, where the first month is only $99. Save $20 off the first month using the coupon ASK20. I would send people to Cliff.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
You know, this always brings up an interesting analogy, because here in Omaha, we have this grocery store called Woolner's, and it was kind of a local yokel store, grocery store. They did things old school way. There's a group of hippies that just loved that place, right? It was a hipster grocery store, very, very popular. So they got so popular, they outgrew their first location and they split it, moved into two different locations. And, one in Midtown and one kind of crosstown. And the one, the crosstown, the guy sold it to another guy, right? And that other guy drove it into the ground.
Nice.
So going to purchasing, yeah, right. And so the other one's still successful. So having the name, right? The guy bought the name, having the Woolner's name doesn't necessarily make you successful, right? So buying the John Lee Dumas stuff, buying the Cliff Ravenscraft, that doesn't make you, that's not going to make you, right? That's just going to give you the tools to do it. You still got to go out and do it. Right. And so will it make you rich quick? It could. It can.
It could.
Right? I mean, look how fast John Lee Dumas rocketed from nothing to to the top, right? Let's just say that. I mean, the guy's at the top of his game right now.
Yeah.
Following what he's doing. He's just telling you what he did. Could you do it doing what he's doing? You absolutely can. Will you? I don't know. Do you have the drive? Will you be lucky? Will you put enough sleepless nights in? Yeah. Will you, right? That is determined by a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck if you're going to be. So I do get a little worn out on, and I've said this before, I get a little worn out on us saying you can't get rich quick, because you can. if you get lucky and you work hard, you can. You can make this thing work. Dumas made it work.
Oh,
it's possible, right? Now, is everybody going to do it, right? And I get this. I think when we say that, sometimes we are just whiny little podcasters because we haven't gotten the download numbers they do. Kind of thing. And it's like, come on, guys. You could do this. You just need a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck.
Well, Daniel makes a good point. You know, John was doing a daily show, and it took him 6 months to get his first sponsor. Well, that would be like a few years for somebody that's doing a weekly show.
Yeah. And no,
that,
right on.
Then it goes back to the, are you hitting from the same points? I do have, I haven't played this in a while. Let's see. Am I going to pop a, should I pop a cork or should I do a power rant? Let's do a power rant.
And now it's time for a power rant.
I swear I'm going to say this in every podcast until it dies. You don't have just 8 weeks to get into new and noteworthy. I listened, on we did a podcasters roundtable with a really nice guy who does a show called, you guessed it, New and Noteworthy.
NewandNoteworthy.net.
And I listened to it, and it's all about, you guessed it, how to get new and noteworthy because you only have 8 weeks. And people were just repeating that per nauseam. And I was just like,
now,
I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. No, you can, it's new or, now you might have 8 weeks to get into new and noteworthy as new, but I was just like, no, that's, it just should be called. Yeah. And then it was just driving me crazy. I was just like, and then.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, it's, so it is what it is.
Yeah. I was just like, so yeah, Dumas's Podcaster's Paradise is almost $1,100 and Cliff is charging $2,000 for 4 weeks, and where John's is, doesn't it? It's like, and now, so
who did the voiceover on that?
That is actually a guy from Fiverr. I was playing around with some stuff. I think it's like Deep Voice Guy or something like that. But yeah, he's the guy that does,
Dave pops a cork in 5, 4, 3, 2,
you know, as well as,
and now. It's time for a pet peeve.
Yeah, so yeah. I had him say all those stuff for like $5. And then
you put the music behind it.
Yeah, I put all the music and the people screaming.
Where'd you get the music from? For that?
the stack of CDs behind me. I have bought numerous, especially around Black Friday, things like that. A lot of places will give you really huge discounts on giant libraries. So I have a ton of royalty-free music.
Yeah, so. That's good. I love those. I like those. Those are good creative because you're mixing kind of some stuff together. And so it's a good – I think we could follow that example a little bit more in some of our podcasts and have some of those things. It's great for live, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It really does. And I think you've gotten really good at bringing that in and having everything set up where that just works. The soundboard is the hardest thing to get right.
Yeah, I'm using Soundbite from Black Cat Studios, which their website's like from 1977. Maybe not quite that old. I don't know. We had websites in 1977, but it's really a horrible looking website.
DARPA.
I know.
It was just DARPA that had websites in 1977.
Yeah. I know Daniel uses something else, but I think it's for the Mac only. I don't think it's an app. I know he uses some sort of, you know, cart machine kind of thing. I've tried a couple free ones, and at least for me, the free ones usually end up kind of wigging out somewhere that they don't quite work or whatever. But
let me cover a little bit about Spreaker, a little Spreaker news, and then we'll jump to the a little bit of your first impressions on the H5A.
Yeah.
So this week, if you haven't been following, of course, Spreaker is up to their usual antics of adding features all the time. And I don't exactly know when this came in, but I got an email that they have now added the YouTube link in there so that you can push your audio directly to YouTube. And so I enabled it just to see what would happen. And so this week, Thursday night, when I do my podcast, I did one of those and I got a notification a little bit later that it had been pushed over to YouTube successfully. And so I went to YouTube and sure enough, there's an audio only version. The slide they use in the background is your Spreaker background picture that you've put in there. So whatever you uploaded for that, that's the slide. And Dave, it was actually pretty good. I mean, we've had some questions before. This has floated around the podcasters group is, could I do an audio-only podcast to YouTube, right? Or should I? If I'm not a video guy, should I be pushing the video or the audio to YouTube? This is a super simple way of doing it. You know, if you were doing Spreaker only, if you were recording your stuff to Spreaker and you wanted to push it to YouTube, you wanted to save time. Man, they do it for you, and you don't pay for the bandwidth to push it from Spreaker to YouTube, right? It worked out pretty well, though. So the whole piece went over there. So that's if you're in Spreaker, if you go to settings and check, let me find that exactly. I think if you go to this.
Do you get to pick like what playlist it goes under or anything like that?
No, it just drops it right into the account. When you're setting that up, I think it's under the connections tab. So if you go to settings and under general, there's connections. And then there's a bunch of connections, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Tumblr, YouTube, and Google. And I have everything but Facebook turned on. I don't know why I'm so afraid to send stuff to Facebook. But and then on the YouTube, you really just get a chance to set up that account. So your YouTube account. So for me, like it's The Average Guy TV. That's my YouTube name. I think that's what I set it up under. And then turn it on. And when I was done, boom, within probably half hour, hour, something like that, it's on my YouTube channel as a – So they've figured out the Google API or the YouTube APIs to drop that audio in. And it looked good, which was like, hey, that looks good. Hmm. I was surprised. I was like, wow. So an option for you. Again, not for everybody. Maybe not the best way to do it. Your mileage might vary, those kinds of things. But what's great about this is Spreaker is doing stuff.
Right.
You know, they have an app. You can buy $99. You don't want to create your own mobile app. They'll create it for you. $99. That's the cost of entry to get into YouTube or to get into iTunes anyway. So,
right. I had, I got an email from some company today that would make your own app for different things. And, it was something ridiculous. Like, you know, $20 a month plus the more you added it, by the end of it was almost $50 a month for the app. And I was like, okay, you know, suddenly Libsyn is sounding good, you know? So, that's interesting. We are recording today into the Zoom H5. And did I need this? No, absolutely not. The Roland RO5 is sitting here waiting to be my official backup for life. Love my Roland RO5. But the thing is, it's a little thing I like to try to have called integrity. And I've been recommending for people, especially if they're going to be doing live kind of stuff, you know, where you're going out to a convention or something like that, the H5. And I just thought, you know, people are asking me about it and it comes with quite the lovely manual. And I mean, like, and it's the good news is it's really, really versatile. I love the fact, I love the fact that I don't need a power cord. So here we are, as I talk, you can see me blinking along. The big difference between the H4 and the H5 is this thing. I can take this microphone off.
It looks like the Terminator.
Well, what's cool is if I did this, I could pull that off and put a different type of mic on, which is kind of cool. That's the big difference I saw. And the fact that what's really cool is these little knobs right here. That's how you adjust your volume. And for me, I'm going into this so I could adjust us with that knob right here. So you can see it's super easy to adjust volume levels. And I don't think the average person needs this. But if you're doing interviews for people, they have the XLRs at the bottom. That's the one thing that this, you know, the RO5 does not have. And that's why I usually recommend it to people. If they're really going to be doing this, I'm like, here's the easy way to plug stuff in. You don't need a mixer. In fact, this thing really acts like a mixer in a lot of the software. It's true. Daniel said the H4N has better preamps. I know, Daryl from Golden Spiral Media did a really in-depth view of the H5. And he put the proverbial Heil PR40 in it. and it was even pushing a PR40 and got decent levels. So, it's got a lot. Here's the thing. It's $269, and the H4 is going for about $199. I did it at Same Day Music, so I did the whole thing where you can basically break your payment in half. And, of course, the thing I love about Same Day Music is there is no sales tax unless you live in New Jersey. Sorry, New Jersey. But so that was kind of cool. And it was the same price as Amazon. So I was like, and I can break it in half and not pay tax? Okay, done. You know, here's the fun thing. So like there are things like, you know, a guitar tuner, a metronome, you know, there's a lot of stuff that the average person just wants to record two people in a room. You're never, ever going to need. But if I wanted to, Jim, I actually thought about this and I went, you know what? Do I need this? I could take, because of my mixer and all my channels have direct outs, I could take you out, I could take me out and the phone out and record it into that and have all three in their own channel. And then take those. It'd be like instead of a double ender, it'd be a triple ender and take all those. I think this is what Daniel does with his podcast. And then put those into Audition and if I need to adjust different volumes and things like that. But it's pretty cool. I really do like it. It, from what I understand, it has really, if you're using the built-in microphones, it has like 15 hours of battery life. And that's the one thing I like. The RO5, I had to spend like $20 for a power cord for it. This, it just comes with a standard USB cable, and that powers the bad boy. So I'm like, well, that's cool. Because when I first opened, I'm like, oh, crap, here we go. No power cord. And but the other thing that's cool is it comes with this, which is this cool little plastic carrying case.
That's nice.
It's a little baby H5 coffin that you basically put it in and it has a little foamy thing here. Or if you have a really tiny room and you want to do some soundproofing, that would work as well.
For mice.
Yeah, for mice. If your mice want to podcast.
For really tiny people.
But
is this a school for ants?
But I love this because the one thing, you know, you have that microphone just hanging out there saying, bump me on stuff. So you could throw it in this, throw it in your suitcase if you're taking it with you. And I was like, wow, that's, and it's, you know, pretty heavy duty plastic. So I thought that was pretty cool that I hadn't seen in other players that some sort of carry along. And then it has this ginormous, which I haven't used yet, clown nose pop filter for it. So, and I lost it, but it actually has another, oh, here it is. It comes in a bag. So if I wanted to put it in this kind of bag to then put it in the little Zoom coffin, I could. So, but the thing I've loved is today I've been trying to remember. It's another thing I might remember. When we change topic, I've been putting markers so I can jump right to those. And and then the H6, I forget what the difference is between the 5 and the 6. I know they both can change microphones. In fact, Barbara Phillips inspired it because Barbara was a person that I recommended the H5. She bought it. She loved it. But I can read the manual. But in terms of actually going through the buttons and things like that, the learning curve is not too horrible. It's like anything else. You know, multiple buttons do multiple things. And you have to figure out that the menu button is the back button and the little, you have like a little toggle thing on the side that's like your enter button. And once you kind of get that, the H6 records in 6 channels. So, but you can actually, if you're doing the multi-track recording, because really part of this is designed for the musician on the road. And that's where I'm like, half that stuff you're never going to use. Or you can, but it's just a little more.
Or the podcaster on the road. There's a lot of benefits to that. I've been doing a lot of live remote stuff, and I use PC to do it, mostly because we're broadcasting live out to Google Hangouts. And so it's just as easy just to let it go out to the Hangouts live than to record those locals. So, but that would work really well. That'd be a good backup to do when you're on the road.
Yeah. So, you know, I I did it because I just felt weird recommending equipment that I had not used. And I went, you know, I kind of looked at it, I could do the old thing where I break the price in two and, if falls fails, I really don't see myself doing it. But if I wanted to, you know, I could make some money in this and sell that. But I'm like, nah, I'd like to keep them around. I'll just end up with this lovely, you know, stable unused podcast gear that can say, hold on, what are you using? Hold on. Let me get that out here. So, and go that route. But so far, and the other thing, the covering, I think it's made out of plastic, but the covering of it is kind of like this rubber of it. So number one, there are also, which is, I haven't really played much with the built-in microphones, but they have these little shock mounts for them. And I think between that and kind of the rubber thing, it reduces some of the handling. The other cool thing about it, it has a built-in speaker. So if I can't find my headphones, I can actually record stuff and, you know, play it back, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But it's actually pretty cool. But yeah, it's you can, and the other thing is you can actually add things on the fly. So if I wanted to suddenly slap in something else, you know, I could do that. So it's really super versatile, which is great. You know, the downside is there's a little more of a learning curve and you have to figure out what I am and am not using. So it's something I'll have to make a video for the school podcast to kind of go, here's the stuff you're never going to use. Well, I shouldn't say never, but may not be using. You know, here's the easiest way to use it. If you want to dive into the deep end of the pool, you can do that as well. And here's, you know, if you want to use this multi-track thing, you can do that and go that way. So, but
what would be cool is if it had Wi-Fi and an iPhone app or an Android app that you could control it from your from your iPad. Wouldn't that be kind of cool to have this portable recorder that you can control levels and stuff from your iPad? They'd have to make that all mechanical, but
Is Mr. Dell still in the chat room? Yes, he is. Mike, is your Mike is running a contest. He's giving away a little Behringer, I believe, mixer. And I was going to promote that today as well. I had that in my my little notes here. Podcasthelpdesk.com. I think if you just send Mike an email or comment on his blog or something like that, he's giving away some gear. So if you're looking for free gear, podcasthelpdesk.com is...
free gear is always good.
It is free. It's always
like good free stuff. Beer, free lunch, free love.
Absolutely. And here I am talking away. See, that's the problem. I'm talking to you over here. And behind me, I have somebody who's been on call while I've been sitting here chatting about the H5. So thank you very much for holding. Ending in 0240, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, Dave and Jim. It's Ron from Japan Experience Podcast.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Ron.
Not too bad. Knee's a lot better, so I'm able to walk downstairs and not be in pain.
That's good to hear.
Because I remember calling you guys last time just before Christmas.
Yeah.
I had the knee operation.
Got it. So
getting my podcast. Getting the podcast all together, everything else, but I picked up a new microphone. I actually picked up the Q2U from B&H Photo because they were having a sale on it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was $399 is what they were selling it for.
Cool. And your thoughts?
I like the microphone, but I have a few complaints about it. One thing is you have to handle the end of the microphone to turn up and down the volume. So if you don't have your volume set up yet, or have your monitoring set up right, you have to play with this microphone. So in turn, it can sometimes bring over hand noises. Also, what I found out is that the volume controls are a little indented, so it's hard to press down on them when you need to turn up or down the volume. But once you get your finger in there, you can adjust it.
Yeah, it's this whole thing.
Yeah, it's not unlike the ATR 2100.
Yeah,
that's a kind of a clunky. It's hard. I don't ever touch them. We go XLR and that shuts it off. But
And if you're a deaf old musician like me, it's easy. You just put it on all the way up, and that's you just leave it there. So, but that'll work. So, how much did you pay for it again?
$37.99 at B&H.
Gotta love that. Beautiful. So awesome.
And I will say this: the headphones are a piece of junk. So
yes,
don't use them.
I have
they
heard
are
that.
Very bassy.
Yeah, I've heard they're really bad. So
you pretty much give those to the kids.
The other thing I like about this microphone is I've hooked it up through my camera. I've tried hooking it up via my mixer. No issues there. I'm able to get perfect sound through those. The only complaint I have is that this microphone will actually, if you were in a, I don't know if it's because of winter time right now or whatever it was, but I got a nice little electrical shock from mine also. I don't have a wind sock over it or anything, and I didn't have my pop filter over it and everything else. And for some strange reason, I got a little bit of a shock.
Were you touching anything metal at the time?
No, I was just sitting. I had my feet on the cement floor and basically was wearing socks. I don't know if it's a little bit of static electricity because it is winter.
Yeah.
We know that winter and static electricity don't work well.
Yeah, because
if you just had socks on.
Yeah, because if you weren't touching anything, the problem musicians have is when I'm touching electric guitar strings that are plugged into an electrical amp, which is plugged into electricity, there's sometimes it has to do with different grounds or something like that. But you'll go up, man, and it'll bite you, man. You put your mouth on, you do the rock star thing, and you get right on the microphone, and pow, man, you're like, ouch. And so the fun part is you still have to sing really close to the microphone, and you the whole night you're like, you know. And there are times when it'll like arc if it's really bad enough, and that's usually where you're like, okay, that's not gonna work, you know. But my favorite shocking, we'll take a quick 10-second tangent here. I was in high school, and we were a bunch of us in the basement of this guy's house, basement floor, concrete, and somebody had their hand on their guitar strings, and somebody else had their, like, we were in a circle, just shooting the fat, and somebody had their hand on a metal mic stand, and all of a sudden, the things aligned, and we all, like, somehow touched elbows. And we all got shocked at the exact same time. It was the funniest thing you ever seen, to see 10 people go, "Yeah!" So it was hilarious. So, yeah. But I think in your case, it's just static electricity. So that would.
Yeah.
So that or get the old pop filter. You need a pop filter anyway. That's that. Otherwise, you're going to end up.
Oh, I got a pop filter over right now.
Ah, there you go. So cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for the review. Anything else we can help you with?
No, just Jim. If you have any problems with your with Stitcher, I've always had to get them on Twitter, and they get fixed within a few minutes to an hour.
I'm
gonna try that next. If I sent a request in, and if I don't hear back from them or whatever, I'll just say, "Hey, Stitcher, can you refresh my RSS feed?" And I'll try that on Twitter and see how it goes. That's good. Good recommendation.
So you don't need a pop filter. Well, I would disagree on that. Mr. Twit guy in the chat room. I would recommend that. I usually start with email and then I escalate to Twitter, because I had the same thing once. I had a day where HostGator was just apparently way behind, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting, because usually they're really pretty good. And man, the minute I sent a tweet, it was fixed. I'm like, wow, I might jump to that the next time. So awesome. And where can we find your podcast at?
Well, the podcast is kind of like the website's kind of down, but it's at jroger.net. As soon as I get everything, like knee surgery, pre-ops, and everything else I have to go through, I just haven't even had time to even go into my WordPress setup and start working on it, because I just recently bought the website about, I figured I would work on it while I was injured, and lo and behold, I really didn't get time to even look at the website and start working on it.
And what's the website again? Slowly?
It's jrajio.net.
Okay. Got it. That's one of those things where you know it. And I'm famous for that. I had people that used to say, I would say my phone number like it was an Olympic event. Be like, 888-568-3228. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to write that down, Dave, if you could say
slow
it.
Down.
Yeah, exactly.
Slow down, professor.
Exactly. Awesome.
Well, actually, I think we all do that every so often.
Yeah. So
yeah,
awesome, man.
Sure. Olympic event.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
Awesome. And Jim, we're going to start wrapping up things here. I know you had a because of my podcast story.
Yeah, real quick, as we kind of come in for a landing, last year, about this time, we do, I mentioned it earlier, we do these tech conferences where I go out and interview the keynotes and the speakers, which is a great way to get visibility. I mean, it's another one of those hustle moves where you go out and we worked for the conference for free. We promoted the conference, and nothing has ever become of those videos that I've done. I mean, I've gotten a little promotion out of them and such, but This week, I was looking, we're getting ready to do that conference again, and we were negotiating the fees and all that other stuff to do it, and on behalf of Gallup. This is all on behalf of Gallup. And so I went to their website, and I scrolled down, and sure enough, all our videos that we had done were on the front page of their website in full glory. It was, and they had laid them out really nice and featured them. And they didn't ask me. They didn't tell me. It was a huge surprise. I was like, wow, nicely done. Infotech is the name of the conference, INFOTEC 2015. Just search that in Google if you want to take a look. But so it was great promotion. I mean, just one of those things where it was like, oh, wow, this just happened. And so working with this conference, this will be the third time we've done it. And this will be the first time they've really featured them in that way. Great promotion, both for me and for Gallup and the podcast. And the fact that the podcast were featured on the front page of the registration site.
Nice.
Is a big deal, right? Because that promotes podcasting. And so that was very cool. So because of my podcast, or because of what we've done last year, we're going to get some really good visibility and publicity this year. And when I go to invite those guests, I just say, hey, look on the front page of the registration, right? That's what we do.
Nice. Excellent. Good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
On Mondays, School of Podcasting, I'm going to be interviewing Darren Dake, who does the Coroner podcast.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
And it started off, he sent into my podcast because of my podcast story, and I emailed him back. I go, wait, I need more on this. Hold on a second. So the power of the niche this Monday on the School of Podcasting with Darren Drake and the Coroner podcast. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Cool. But he actually got a job that he didn't even know he wanted because of his podcast. And I'm like, oh, hold on a second. So, yeah, that'll be a fun. We talk about the power of stories and things like that. That'll be coming up Monday. Jim, you got anything coming up over at theaverageguy.tv?
Yeah, actually, episode 200 is up here this week for us. So we'll celebrate 200. Congrats. Amber got from LastPass. So if you're struggling to manage all your passwords and security, we're going to be talking that on theaverageguy.tv/live Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central.
Awesome. And as always, we're here every Saturday, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK20. That is ASK20. I'm finding out that you need to make coupon codes that are like really super easy to use because nobody can spell listener. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.